Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
And God, we're not here on the defensive, but rather we're here on the offensive, knowing that you have empowered us to make a great impact upon our world. And so, Lord, as we continue this, not only this conversation, but these words that are coming from you, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be so present here today. For the person that's furthest from you, the person that is wondering, does God love me? Is there a purpose or a plan for my life? I pray, God, that you'd speak directly to their heart and transformation would come. I thank you for this and I praise you for this. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I think it's no surprise to any of you that probably one of the headline things that happens over and over and over again, along with that, is the idea that happens in various places and over the internet, and perhaps, you know, usually over the internet or some sort of computer commerce, is identity theft. Having your identity stolen. I want to let you know that that is a master plan of the enemy, is to steal your identity and to take it away from you and to superimpose upon you someone else's identity, or just strip you clean of absolutely everything that brings you uniqueness as the person that God has created you to be. Well, that being the case, although we may be confronted by things that were affected nationally, internationally, as far as security is concerned, God has a direct way of talking to his people. And he talks to us through his word and some directive things by the Holy Spirit. He's saying to us today that that Jesus, as he went to the temple, he picks up the word of God, and it's so relevant to what's going on in the culture. And you say we want to be culturally relevant. Well, I want to tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us our identity, and he's the one that does things in our lives that will make us not only unique, but will bring us into the here and now of what he wants to do. But here's my questions for you today. First of all, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to anchor you in the secure love of the Father? In other words, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to tell you that your identity can't be stripped away from you, but God still loves you? He hasn't abandoned you. He's not upset with you. He's still using Jesus and the Holy Spirit to bring you back into a relationship with him. Second thing would be this. Has the fact that the anointing of the Holy Spirit resting upon you to be accessed at any time impacted you in a positive way? Because Jesus says something in this particular verse. He reads the scripture, but he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I want to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Because he's anointed you to preach. He said, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't have the homiletical, hermeneutical, you know, exegetical prowess. I know those are all weird words, but they all mean something in you know, seminary. And if you want to know what they mean, you know, Trish Jeter will tell you what they mean. She's in seminary, she can tell you. No, but the deal is, all these different words lead to the fact that you don't have to be a theologian to realize that God's anointing is upon you to make a difference. You say, me? Well, let me take you to the third question is this. How about, do you believe that the Lord desires to change the world through your obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Because when Jesus reads this, he says this, and today that prophecy is being fulfilled right before your very eyes. I need to tell you this. You're not here in New Song on this particular Sunday morning by accident. Prophetically, that will be fulfilled in your life today if you listen to the word of God as he would impart it to you. What does that mean? Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't redefine the term, prepares us to change the world that we live in. So we're going to go to Mark 1, verses 9 through 11, and we'll read those particular words to you because that's going to be a good place. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then the voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I need to tell you this. That is God's identity over you. God is not mad at you. God is not upset with you. You say, well, I've sinned. I've done this. Yeah, I know about that particular stuff. That comes through repentance. But the real identity that Jesus took upon himself when he identified with the very fact that he went through the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit showed up and appeared as a dove, and the words that came out of the Father's mouth was a sealing point in the life and ministry of Jesus, to the point that the very next thing that happens is he's empowered to say these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me. And there's things I would never dream about doing, but those things are going to happen through my life." Stay with me because we're going to talk about this. Well, before Jesus was led into the wilderness, he had a Holy Spirit visitation. And we must allow the Word of God over our lives to prepare us for the temptation that will face us in our lives. That's the problem. It's that since you came to Jesus, a lot of stuff has happened. Somebody say amen. You're not cruising down that street and saying, "Oh, Jesus in my life, yeah, everything's going to be..." Back up the bus. It's been rough. But I don't care. There's no reason for you to feel any less anointed. The Holy Spirit of what he's spoken to your life when you experienced him is still valid today. Along with that, you would have to consider the fact that Jesus' baptism was the ultimate act of obedience, because how he got baptized is so unique. He comes to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he says, "I need to be baptized by you." That doesn't make any sense. Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're asking me to baptize you. And, John the Baptist is scared to death. He's, "Oh, no, no. Oh, I'm not worthy to lash your shoes." And you know what Jesus said to him? I'm going to give you my vernacular. "Get over it, John." What you need to do will fulfill all righteousness. He says, "I'm not bringing this thing down to a level of where I'm trying to create something." He says, "But there's something that is so naturally supernatural that needs to happen that people will look back on this particular day and say, you know, Jesus did that. It was out of obedience to the Father. I need to do the same." I want to tell you something. This may be the best point of the whole message. The one thing that God wants from every person in this room is obedience. It may not look like you thought I was going to look, but when God says do it, do it. Wow. And that's sinking into somebody right now. I said, "Well, I just don't feel that." Honey, your feelings will get you nowhere. Well, they'll get you in trouble. I'm sorry. They will get you somewhere. Places you don't want to be. But his confession was that he needed to be baptized by him to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness is not religion. It's to fulfill God's plan in your life. Well, moving quickly, God will show up in supernatural ways when we follow the path of submission to the experience his word and works of validation over our lives. That means simply this. The Holy Spirit appears on the scene once we embrace obedience necessary to bring God's will. Wow. Well, when we choose to walk in obedience and share God's word, we open our lives to the miraculous. We're going to go to Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. I'm just kind of restylizing some things I've written down. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. I need to tell you something. There are people that you don't like that God is going to anoint with the Holy Spirit. Hello. People that you think, "Oh, them? Really? Her?" And you know what you see us? You see us through all our issues. But the Holy Spirit has the ability to go beyond what we think, or beyond the way we categorize people. He says, "You know what? There are people that you've dismissed that I'm going to use mightily in my kingdom." Because God has the ability to do that. Well, and God will identify us as one who belongs to him. And our influence and our impact on others is subject to the willingness of our experience, that what seems to be common until God shows up. So he says, "Pour out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify the Lord." Now, I'm not here to make a whole case about tongues. We talked about that. But there are some people that you have relegated to think that that'll never happen to them. They're just not holy enough. Really? Holy Spirit will fall upon people that we encounter in our daily lives. I was at the club where I, you know, work out, try to stay alive, and, you know, kill myself every time I go there. At least I thought my flesh was dead, but it resurrects. But I had a fellow there, and without going into a lot of detail, he owns this rather, shall I say, startup company that will have a magnanimous impact upon one of the particular things that people suffer from, acid reflux type of thing. In other words, the invention that he and his company has come up with has could basically eliminate all the, you know, Prilosec and all that other type of stuff that people take for this type of disease. Well, as you probably know, the drug companies aren't happy. They're very unhappy. And he's fighting it with Washington, D.C., because they have this particular device that's implanted. It's not invasive. I'll just spill this whole thing. But the point of it is, he's telling me about this whole thing. The guy's just really depressed. He says, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm having to lay off people from my company, and the American Medical Association is fighting against this whole thing. I don't know what's going to happen with my particular business. And the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and I'm thinking, I'm here in the locker room, okay? Could you cool it? And the Holy Spirit comes to me and says, he says, you should offer to pray for him. Really? And so he tells me, because he's, you know, just, and I've known, I don't know him that well, but how well do you need to know him? And so we stop at a particular point, and of course, we're right in the middle of the room, so everybody can hear. I guess I believe that God is going to do something with what you've discovered. And if it's like you say, it's been tested, this type of thing, I'm going to be praying for you, and I will continue to pray for you. And then this is what I want you to do. And when things break through, let me know how God delivered you. Before I knew what I was saying. Now, either I can never go back to the club again, or Jesus is going to show up and do something miraculous. What I'm trying to say to you is that we've got to be naturally supernatural. And it's not. And I know the guy's not after the money. He's doing fine. But he says, this will make a difference in people's lives. Do you know something? We are on this planet to make a difference in people's lives. Come on, that's okay. You can go. That's the truth. And so God will do it in ways that we probably didn't just kind of, you know, kind of plan out so well, which is pretty amazing. Well, anyway, so the deal is that God is about to do some things in and through us that will make some impacting difference in folks. Well, we must never lose sight of the fact the Holy Spirit is a gift from God designed to put blessing on the lives of other people. I want to move on real quickly. Our openness to the Spirit will facilitate constant encounters with the presence of God. Somebody say amen. Constant. And God can do things kind of random. Ever try to predict stuff? I do. I admit I'm kind of a. I don't like things out of my little boxes. Now I'm not OCD, but I'm close. But our oldest Holy Spirit will facilitate constant encounter. Well, Acts chapter 11, verses 15 through 18. Here we go. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon those as at the beginning. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could withstand God? Man. Got a word from you from the Lord. Get out of his way. Isn't that spiritual? So there was love behind that, in case you missed that piece. We're all agents of the grace of God by allowing God's power to flow through us, but we must be open to God's Spirit falling upon people that we would not deem worthy of that, and that means that we must be willing to take the risk in order for the presence of God to have the right of way in our lives. Anointing is a four-letter word. What? R-I-S-K. Because once you're out there, there's no turning back. Either it is or it isn't. Well, being subject to the Holy Spirit and His guidance is we are always to allow that to happen. And I'm going to skip over that particular thing because there's a place I need to get to rather quickly. I'm going to go on to part G where it says, our constant struggles with the world, the flesh, and the devil will require that we spend time in the presence of God. Somebody say amen. How do we expect to have an impact on the world and we never spend time with Jesus? Some of you have a Bible snack in the morning. I think you treat your Bible, remember the old thing, the old advertisement for Brill Cream, a little dabble, do you? Now that's dating me. How many of you remember Brill Cream? Good, thank you, Jesus. I didn't come over on the Mayflower, but I'm close. We're afraid of getting too much Jesus. Believe me, you cannot overdose on Jesus. I need to cut back on reading the Word of God. I'm getting just a little bit more than I probably need. Wow, that's the devil got you cooked. But we must resist getting ahead of what God desires. I want to bring this into balance. That means we must refrain from trying to develop formulas for ministry that accommodate our fleshly desires. I admire people, and perhaps, I'm one of them, read the Word every day, pray, and this type of the routine, but you know something? God sometimes wants to bust up your routine. Because some of you are too religious. I'm going to read my chapter today. God said, read three. Oh, no. I read one. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah. I said it. Yeah, I did. Okay. No, he said, read one, pray, and digest what you just read. Which means we must be open to God's power doing great things through us that we might have thought to be impossible. Here's a word I think I'll spend just a little time with. We must be careful not to confuse change with adaptation. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We can get used to anything. I'll tell you one thing you might as well get used to. Traffic in Portland is changing forever. Amen. There are people coming up from California and they don't care. The property's cheaper, they like weird Portland, and they're moving here. I don't like this particular thing. Move to Estacada. I can help you with that. I better define myself because I got some people mad at me living in Estacada. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives to change us into vessels that can be totally used for God's glory. The culture is trying to make us adapt to the times and circumstances created by the devil. Now, the devil didn't create the traffic. As much as some of you believe he did, he didn't. But I think I need to change your mindset. I don't see it as so much as the traffic. I see it as a greater opportunity to reach people for the kingdom of God. And so I think you need to, I'm going to rebuke something off of you. I rebuke the spirit of madness off of you. And I restore upon you the spirit of gladness. Thank God there's more people I can talk to about Jesus. Thank God that when I'm in a traffic jam, this type of thing, I can just pray about what God's going to do all over the earth. And I can really use this as an opportunity to expand the kingdom of God. Get over it. The devil wants to use anything he can to aggravate you, to make you that type of person where you just see something. I just moved here from California. Why'd you move here? Why didn't you stay in California? We got enough people here. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. When we're subject to the Holy Spirit, God's word is the final authority over our life. I want to get to this last little portion. I didn't leave enough time to get to it. But I'm going to go back into this Luke portion because the Spirit of the Lord rests upon believers to empower them to do the work of Jesus. And we pick up Luke 4:18 again because I want to say something here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And let's leave that up there for a moment. Poor is an interesting word. Because when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about poor people, he really doesn't worry about, I'm not going to say worry about, but he doesn't focus on the people who are impoverished with lack of resources. He takes a class of people that are poor in spirit, and he kind of puts them on a level that they're really going to find some things from God. The poor in spirit are a whole different category of people that he says in his word. But the issue here is when the Spirit rests upon us to do some great and mighty things, we'll find ourselves confronting the world, the flesh, and the devil. We must be mindful of misinterpreting the categories of those that are impoverished, which means this. The anointing that is upon those those that have been immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit will confront the spirit of poverty that's imposed upon the world. Now, I want you to take that word spirit of poverty and take the resources, about the lack of resources, take that off the table for the moment. I want you to look at it from a whole different thing. The richness of the soul or the abundance of the soul that God wants people to have are those people that, you know, that really have a hunger, that are crying out for God. That people that know it says, you know, there's something missing in my life, and I don't know what it is. God calls those people blessed. When you realize you don't have what it takes, God says, I can come and help you with that. But see, in our culture, we want to get another program, another feeding program. And believe me, I have nothing bad to say about it. We've got a gang problem in Portland. They're trying to open up all the various community centers for free to get the young people off the streets so they won't go around shooting up everybody. That won't solve the problem. It's deeper than that. And God wants to anoint you. Because Jesus says, if Jesus is in you, he says, the Spirit of God has anointed me, but he anointed me to preach to the poor. And you don't have to be standing behind this pulpit. You don't have to pull out your Bible. But there's something that's within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, or the word residue that's within you, that can preach hope and restoration to a lost and dying world. What does that mean? The anointing of the Holy Spirit brings the gospel. And you know what the gospel is? Simple definition, good news. And I'm glad to use gospel because anything more than that will mess it up real good. So good news. The good news is that you don't have to die in your sins. Jesus has already died for you, and you can have redemption through the blood of Jesus. The good news is you don't have to run after drugs or anything else in the world. That Jesus is all that you need. He can restore your life better than it's ever been before. The good news is that you don't have to run after all the things of the world and the trappings that the world has to offer. That Jesus has got all those things ready and available for you in the kingdom of God. Well, moving a little bit further, the economy of the kingdom of God places all people in bankruptcy till they meet Jesus. You're all the same. When the Lord gave this particular statement, he says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? A lot of people have sold out cheap, trying to satisfy things in their life. Well, second thing I want to tell you, the world seemingly is trying to level the playing field in order to alleviate poverty and suffering. That means that Jesus' sermon singles out those poor in spirit as the ones that will find the kingdom of God. The world sees as tragic and the loss the people, the Lord sees as an opportunity to deal with real issues of life. And then Jesus sees people who actually mourn. Blessed are they at mourn, for they shall be comforted. You say, how are you tying these both of these things together? I'll tell you how. When Jesus says the anointing was upon him, his sermon that he had yet to preach was the one of the Sermon on the Mount, but he's inconsistent in what he's saying. He says, the mourning for those people is that blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. The only thing, the mourning that really we have to worry about is mourning over our sin, but God brings comfort because the Holy Spirit is here to bring comfort. You don't have to live in that oppressive, I'll never make it, I'm no good, spirit of poverty of the world. Well, when we hunger for righteousness, we will be filled with the presence of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are they... Blessed are they merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's one above that, it doesn't matter. But what we're talking about here at this particular point is those particular people who really come to a place in their life that they need to have that particular hunger in their life and passion for the things, blessed are they hungry, for they're going to be filled with the righteousness of God. Righteousness has little or nothing to do with religion, but rather the relationship between the Father through Jesus Christ, and righteous fulfillment can only occur when we allow ourselves to find purpose for living beyond ourselves. Now, let me take you to this last little portion. The anointing of the Spirit on the life of a believer will bring healing to those who are brokenhearted. Jesus says in his dissertation, actually when he's reading out of Isaiah, he says, for those people who are broken, can you focus on this just for this next couple of minutes? All of us fit that category. I would love to give you the front that everything in my life is perfect. It's not true. Jesus in my life, the Holy Spirit, is healing my brokenness every single day. So wait a minute. No. Every single day. Well, he says, he sent me to heal the broken heart. I don't want you to raise your hand on this one. I'm just going to make a promise here that's going to be fulfilled in just a few moments. One of the reasons why Jesus allowed you to come to this particular service today is to bring make you aware of your brokenness and to heal it. So, well, then that means I'll be fine. No, there'll be more to be revealed. But it's a constant healing presence of God that he allows us to experience. Well, brokenness is more than disappointment in regard to the things that you thought you were going to receive and did not. Brokenness, disillusionment, they're not really compatible. But I will tell you this much, that Jesus comes along and it's not the fact he's pat you on the back and says, it's going to be okay. I want to expose one of the things that has really destroyed our culture and a lot of the millennials, and if you're a millennial, forgive me. Well, don't forgive me, because I'm not going to apologize. But one of the disservices we did to that group of people as we gave them too many attaboys. Good job, great done. You're better than anyone. Oh man, you got this particular thing. And pretty soon they bought it. And said, I am invincible. I am the person. Everything centers around me. Draw a circle. I'll jump in it. I'm the guy you've been looking for. And you know what? I got something to tell you. You're not. You never have been. You never will be. Now, that's not to tear you down, but Jesus in you will make you the person you need to be. And without him, you are a big zero. We don't want to ruin their self-esteem. Okay. Another selfie coming. I know some of you were really fried when I did that last week, but you need a little selfie culture. Brokenness of our culture finds relief in licensing means of escape through drugs, sexual encounters, and paranormal experiences with the spirits of darkness. You say, what? Uh-huh. And they call it normal. Well, you got one more you can handle? Okay, here we go. The Holy Spirit brings deliverance to those who have been held hostage to the seducing spirits of this age. You know what that means? That the enemy has not been idle, but the culture is so seductive, you don't even recognize this. Well, that's just the way things are. We're living in a different time and era. Uh-huh. The devil's amped it up, y'all. Let me get this last piece. God will judge us upon our will and not on the things that have happened to us. That's the most important statement I'm going to make today. God will judge us on our will and not on the things that have happened to us. I'm going to talk about some issues here that will be uncomfortable for some of you, but I need to say them. As much as we don't like to admit it, in a gathering of people like this, there are people who have suffered all types of abuses in their life and they're bringing up. They look well today, they dress well today, they have a smile on their face, but really, if you walk back through their experiences, some of them went through horrendous abuse, were products of alcoholic families, were products of all types of sexual abuse, emotional abuse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I need to tell you this, God will not judge you on those things that have happened to you. But the devil will keep bringing them up and tell you that this is your identity. This is the person that you are. You deserve all this other type of thing. You'll never be any better than the things that have happened to you. That is your lot in life, so deal with it. And that's a lie. God will judge you on your will. And your will is inconducive with receiving what his word has to say to you about the fact that Jesus offers you deliverance from those things that have happened to you as being oppressive in your life. It's called forgiveness. For the things you've done and for the things that have been done to you. So if those things are dealt with, that means, well, what does the word of God say? We'll seal this up. Worship team, you can come back up here and that'll slow me down or stop me or something. But it simply means this. That those who have been victimized by the devil are destined to live in oppression of constant bombardment of sinful encounters and reckless behavior. You're an open target. Unless your will says, you know what, I'm not living like that anymore. God's word says I can be free and I'm going to believe Jesus. I spent my last day on medicating myself to deal with the pain of the things I've gone through in life. Jesus is going to deliver me. Wow. There's one profound word that's in the Bible that says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Everybody say destroy.
Destroy.
That has nothing to do with the apathy. Like to help you cope with, it's destroy. When it's destroyed, it can no longer be used as evidence against you. That's not your identity anymore. Finally, we must operate in the divine confidence of divine empowerment of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. God will single you out and use you for his specific purpose, if you're willing to respond to the anointing that's upon your life. Let me just suffice to say, the latter part of this particular dissertation Jesus makes reference to things or to people. And it seems random, but it's really quite amazing. He talks about, you know, prophets, and he talks about individuals. He talks about a woman, a widow, a woman that was used to save a prophet. That God has a way of just going beyond what you think should happen. He says, I'm going to save you through this particular one encounter. That it'll only make sense to you, it won't make sense to anybody else. That's how personal God is. From oppression, from the things that are so personalized toward you that you feel like nobody understands, I want to let you know, Jesus understands what you're going through and what you've gone through. Everybody bow your heads, everybody.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.